When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Just got a new puppy or kitten. Congrats. But also, yikes. Between crates, beds, toys, treats, and those first few vet visits, you've probably already dropped a small fortune, which is where Lemonade Pet Insurance comes in. It helps cover vet costs so you can focus on what's best for your new pet. The coverage is customizable, sign-up is quick and easy, and your claims are handled in as little as 3 seconds. Pro tip, Lemonade offers a package specifically for puppies and kittens. Get a quote at lemonade.com/pet. Your future self will thank you. Your pet won't. They don't know what insurance is.
Well, hello. Welcome back to the Bachelor Podcast. And look who's back joining us. I'm Christine Lee with Ryan Jones. Katie Pallotta.
Hi.
Where have you been?
I was in Georgia.
Well, how nice.
Yes.
On vacation, but...
A casting call for the Bachelor?
I can't say anything at this
visiting
time.
Visiting Jared and Ashley, who are so in love and engaged?
So no. In love.
Okay, well, last night on The Bachelorette, Jordan and David's little bitch fest exploded and backfired, and also backfiring a little bit was Chris's strategy, but things started out in Las Vegas in Sin City with a one-on-one date with Colton.
Yes. The date card said, let's ride off into the sunset together. They went camel riding.
That's
in the middle of the desert.
That's what I think of when I think of Vegas, camels.
Right, and considering how many Vegas puns they managed to fit into this episode, I was kind of surprised that they didn't go more traditional Vegas with each of the dates. But clearly they were trying to get the point across that Colton, they were using humps, thus the camels, and he didn't fully take the bait. So we haven't had that conversation yet. But for those of you that are unaware or haven't picked up on his hints, Colton claims to be a virgin. And
while having had a fun weekend with Tia, which we still haven't figured that math out yet.
Right.
Which, to go along with that, if you noticed the shot of the river sign, that was called Virgin River.
So they were begging him to tell her that, and he even alluded to it. But alas, there was hump riding, but no hump talking.
Right. But they did have a nice time in a hot tub in the middle of the desert, which is always, you know,
naturally
makes for good video and audio
and
discussion.
Drinking. Everyone else, because that's a major drink in the Bachelorette drinking game.
He did open up to Becca a little bit on the date in the evening. Obviously, he's a front runner.
Yeah, I thought he was going to go more into his backstory, but it kind of just ended with, you know, I was in a relationship, I said I love you, and I didn't get it back. And then that was like it, and I was like waiting for like this big thing to have happened.
Yeah.
But it just...
And it was only a year and a half ago, which I personally don't think that's very long in the world of saying I love you. To get over someone, a year and a half is fairly short term.
Well, compared to Becca, though, it's basically a lifetime, because hers was 3 months prior. So,
right.
Yes, in the real world with people like us, yes, that is not that long.
It's
but
still raw after a year.
It's still raw, for sure. But in the world of Bachelor, Bachelorette, Becca's like, wow, that's so long ago. Yeah. Oh, my God.
I just hate that all these guys are like, I've had a similar experience to yours. And like, no one has. Like, you got dumped on national TV live, unedited, supposedly, after a huge engagement that was televised.
I think maybe Marie Antoinette can relate, and that's about it.
It is saying, oh, yeah, I was dumped once too. Yeah, not really the same thing. Oh, well, no, but I was engaged once. Still not the same thing, buddy.
No.
Even I was married and divorced. Not the same thing.
Well, there was a lot of people trying to compare to Ari or Ari's season throughout the episode, including, you know, the little fight in the desert where, who was it? David said Jordan is worse than Ari, or the other way around. One of them said it about the other.
They probably both said it at some point.
But still, yeah, you understand. Like, they're still trying to make those comparisons. Mm-hmm. But they had a nice makeout session in front of a whole host of Vegas landmarks, and it was a beautiful Vegas tour. Tourism ad.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know.
And screw the limo. They got their own big bus.
Right. Yes.
I mean,
How big is that thing?
It's huge. Well, I rode one of those in San Francisco. And, I mean, that's got to be.
Ceiling. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. It's a pretty cool. I've been to Vegas. I've never taken the big bus around Vegas.
But did you get a sign that said, kiss her?
Obviously. Well, the weird part about that, other than the fact that the whole thing. So they're staying at the Aria, which they were very clear about, that, you know, paying the bills, you know, Aria,
have you
Aria,
been to
Aria.
This place?
I've stayed at the Aria before, not in the Sky Suites. That's a whole different ballgame.
It looked like a nice hotel.
Super nice. It's one of the newer spots on the Strip. But then when they're riding on the big bus and it says kiss her, on top of that, that's the Aria sign, and they scrambled it for some reason.
Yeah. Oh.
I could see if it was, well, we're covering the Mirage or we're covering someone that isn't one of our properties, but it's literally the property, not only where they're staying, but that they made a point of, hey, the Aria Sky Suites, this is awesome. Hmm. Very weird.
They must have not had permission for that.
Yeah, it was super
for that
weird.
Sign to go up.
Yeah, that is odd.
But it was being able to go from riding a camel to riding down the Strip and finally getting that Vegas experience, because they even made the point, like, yeah, who doesn't go to Vegas and ride a camel? Like, yeah, let's get a little bit of the cliched Vegas.
I don't think you could get more Vegas than Wayne Newton. The group date, I mean, please, can we just, this is what I've been waiting to talk about. Wayne Newton, his massive gilded estate with horses and manicured lawns and jet airlines and, you know, Bentleys lined up. I mean, it's money.
Yeah, I think the guys thought that they were probably going to go horseback riding or, you know, something up that alley, because I don't think they knew exactly where they were until they saw Wayne.
Did you know who Wayne Newton was?
Yes.
Ryan, obviously, yeah, you guys, you know.
But I did worry or wonder about if you're 23 or 24, do you know who Wayne Newton is? I mean, is he just that? I mean, you're not that much older than that. I mean, do you, like, is it just because he's Wayne Newton? I mean,
I don't know. I mean, I think if you looked at some of the guys and it seemed a little forced, like, oh, Wayne Newton. Like, obviously he's going to be
and
here.
And his hit song, Donkey
Yeah,
Train.
Exactly. I think some of the guys forced it a little bit, but I don't know, maybe.
I mean, he is Mr. Las Vegas.
He is.
Yeah.
And he's Mr. Plastic Surgery, obviously. Ooh. Twitter blew up over that.
Clearly.
People were just brutal.
Wayne, are you happy? Sad? Upset?
Wayne.
What's going on?
It's a little rough.
Wayne? Well, and then he brought out the love of his life, which I don't know how much of his life she could have taken up, because clearly there is an age
difference.
Kathleen, yeah.
And when you know, you know. It doesn't matter. Age is just a number.
But I love how he said, singing it out loud and singing it to the person who is the love of your life. He didn't say it's night and day. He said it's dark and light or something. It was so bizarre.
It was dark and light.
Yeah,
that's what he said.
It was dark and light. And he turned and serenaded her, and I think she was horrified. Truly.
She was a little taken aback.
She stepped on him a little bit. Like, yep. There was a weird pause, and so she started talking, then he started singing. They clearly did not rehearse how they were going
She was just like, I need to be on The Bachelorette and you need to bring me out. And then, like, let's see what happens.
And then I'll kiss you wherever your lips are this week. That's where I'll kiss them.
And where's Chris Harrison? I was told there'd be a Chris Harrison.
Right? Yeah. So, but it was announced that the guys were going to have to come up with some song lyrics and perform in usual reality show horrifying style in front of Wayne Newton on stage on the strip.
I thought it was interesting to have Chris on this date because he literally did the same thing two
Capitol
weeks
Records.
Ago. And he brought that up. I was wondering if he was going to say, I already did this date, but yeah. But not with the performance part. So that added some embarrassment for them.
Oh, multiple layers of embarrassment. But did you also know what Donkashane meant?
I didn't.
Okay.
No.
I thought, I'm like, how could you not know what Donkashane means? Thank you. But I guess, all right, I was going to beat up on the guys a little bit for that, too.
You can beat up on us.
Yeah, fine. Feel free. I mean, listen, I probably should know, especially, you know, once you said it, that, oh, yeah, I should probably have known that. But well, I don't know. I just,
all right.
When they were saying, like, I don't even know what that means, I was laughing along with them because I was like, yeah, I don't know. What the hell does that mean?
Okay. All right. Well, so they had to write their own lyrics.
And I like that it was to the music. I didn't know at first that they were basically rewriting the lyrics to the song.
Which makes it easier.
It does.
When you set lyrics to an existing,
that was the issue with the Capitol Records thing, is they had Richard Marx there to write the new music to whatever the lyrics were.
Tough.
And that's, so I'm thinking, oh my God, you're going to make these guys come up with music to a new song?
And
so,
that would take forever.
Yeah.
For changing all those guys. So we do that all the time.
Singing along to the song with your own lyrics. Exactly. It's basically like you are back just in singing in the shower. Like, you don't know the words, you just make them up.
Make
Who
them
cares?
Up. Yeah.
And I thought most of the guys handled it the way they should have. You know, own it. You know?
Yeah, you're obviously not on this show because you're a singer.
Yeah.
Obviously.
And most of you are going to be terrible, and most of them were. But, yeah, don't be self-conscious about it. Just go up there and have fun with it.
Although a singing dating competition, that niche hasn't been filled yet, Katie. I know you watched The Proposal, so there's one more opportunity.
Not proud. Not proud. I was 1 hour last night that I will never, ever get back.
And we're saying, saying that on a Bachelor podcast.
Yeah, but I quit. Like, I just couldn't turn it off either. It was so bad that it was, you couldn't stop watching.
It's that much of a train wreck.
Right. Huge train wreck.
Well, apparently it's a train wreck in real life, too. They've had to pull an episode already because of sexual assault allegations. Mm-hmm. That's a whole different problem. But, the guys came up with their own lyrics, and then they had to go and perform them on stage. And poor John, first one up out of the shoot, and it ended up not serving him very well.
Yeah. I thought he owned it, like Ryan said. But just no one was good. Like, it was just...
No.
Yeah, no.
Well, that's the whole point. No one's supposed to be good in this situation, I don't think.
Right.
I think if you came out and nailed it, it would also almost be like, really? Show off?
Yeah, exactly. You can't win.
And that's the thing, but Chris at least had some swagger to him. And he... Just talk about self-sabotage. He went up there. He got off the stage. He's showing, like, he's got some charisma.
Yep.
And thinking, okay, this is... this could be a thing.
He even looks like he came out of a boy band. I'm thinking Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, something.
He looks like Danny Wood from New Kids on the Block.
Yes, thank you. Exactly.
Yeah, and so I thought he was the best of the worst, but at least he, not only did he own it, but he tried to get the audience involved. So you're thinking, oh, okay, maybe he has a chance.
This is a classic Pyrrhic victory where you win the battle but lose the war.
Because then all of a sudden he thinks, oh, what else? I was the best one up there.
In the bag.
She's going to come to me. Please, this is nothing. And then it just all fell apart because he just assumed he didn't need to do anything.
And Blake slid on in there.
Yeah, he was so certain that he was going to have the time and he was going to have a successful conversation with that time, and then he just never got it, and then he went straight to, well, I'm feeling rejected. And like, you can't say you're feeling rejected if you're on a date with five other guys for the same girl
to come seek him out,
Dude,
no,
is this
like,
your
that's
first
huge,
day?
You're not the Bachelor.
Seriously, what do you...
And you will never be.
You will never be is right. I can't... I'm just sitting there, I'm thinking, dude, you had this whole date by the cojones, and all now you're just spilling all over yourself. What are you doing?
Can't you relate to that, though? I've done that so many times in my life where I'm like, well, I'm done. This is good. And then I... ruin whatever it is I'm doing. I mean,
yeah, I mean, it happens, but like,
sabotage.
But it was, probably wasn't when you were on a date with him.
But the thing is, it's one thing to self sabotage. We all self sabotage. That's just thanks for being human.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But he literally had other guys sitting there saying, aren't you going to go over there?
Nah. Hey, you should probably try to get your one on one time.
You should like, maybe just, nah. No. Well, you had, okay. When you have guys who you're competing with telling you, like, man, you might want to do this.
Yeah.
He had multiple opportunities.
Teach his own.
He doesn't like to be told what to do, obviously.
Clearly. That paved the way for Blake, though, to get falling in love with you.
I know.
The magical phrase.
And
out.
He did it in a way that was everything opposite of what...
Sean
Perfume
Blanc.
Bomb did last time around.
Yeah.
Did it in all the right ways.
Yeah.
Well, he acknowledged Jean Blanc and say, you know, it's not something somebody should do, and I felt so terribly for you.
Took that moment away
from
you.
Took it away from you.
It was a good line.
And he made sure to get out of the building for it, because this way, no one was finding him. Because at first, when they heard them, like, oh, where are they? Oh, they're over there. Okay, cool. And then all of a sudden, they disappeared. Because
smart.
The worst thing that could happen in the middle of that moment, other than being Jean Blanc and sound like you're reading from a script, is being interrupted by another guy.
Yeah.
So let's go outside where there's literally no one around and they're not going to come out looking for me, and unencumbered, and it worked out well for him.
And she even told the cameras in her... you know, in the moment, that she was feeling the same way.
Yeah, and clearly it. I mean, he got the group
rose.
Date rose. I know you talked about it last week, but I still think she has great chemistry with Garrett. Unfortunately, but
he's still in.
They have
in the
great
mix.
Chemistry, and if like you guys said, if we didn't know what we knew, he would.
Yeah,
he'd be a huge front runner.
He'd be one of the top two or three, but I look at him and my skin crawls.
But how do we know he isn't for her? That's the thing. She's in this bubble that we don't know what her mindset is.
I think it's
is.
Just hopefulness that the they haven't shown us anything, so I'm assuming it doesn't come out the way it did with Lee, but you just hope eventually she sees something that seems off, because clearly something's off with him.
Well, she seems to make the right decisions about these guys, as we find out throughout this episode, that she weeds out, you know, the weeds and keeps... Although keeping Chris around for another week
Well,
and
here's the thing. So she gives the group the group date rose to Blake, and that totally sends...
Chris over the edge.
I mean, if you thought it was bad that she's going to find time for me, it... should I be here? I'm packing my bags.
I'm gonna go right now.
So he somehow gets back to her, which we don't know who tells her that. It was probably Jordan, what's his name, when they were
David.
David, when they were yap about, because all they were doing was
I'm
talking
surprised
about,
they didn't show that happen, because that could have been a whole nother.
It also could have just been a producer.
Yep. Yeah.
But so then she presents him with that. No, I'm all in one. We'll see. And she sends him away. But then when he tries to interrupt later to try to show, like, no, I'm here. I'm effing leaving. This is... Dude!
They call that being salty.
We just had this conversation.
Yeah. Like, way too salty.
And I mean, I think that shows you all you need to know about him. And I'm with you. I was surprised that you have someone like John who, a little boring.
He may be off-key and a little boring.
But he seems like a good guy.
A good dude, and he doesn't go like, you know, a friggin'...
Yeah, major mood swings up and down, like completely out of control.
Red flag, red flag, red flag. Yeah. John's just like a okay flag. You know, he and makes some money and he's kind of goofy.
A yellow flag.
Yeah, yellow flag. He's like, yeah. Oh, yeah, that guy. He's kind of cool.
Nice soccer reference, by the way.
Makes a lot of money, seemingly. Seems like a good dude. Or this, you know, guy that flies off the handle.
No. And I think John is better looking than Chris, nicer than Chris. Oh, I do. I don't know. There's something about him that I think is so cute. And he was totally upset that he got kicked off. He was, you know, wiping tears away. If he was acting, it was good.
Well, I imagine he'll be developing apps in paradise.
I'm sure. Yeah. We haven't seen the last of him. But Garrett is still sniffing around in a way that is... makes our skin crawl, and so we are not going to be getting rid of him because he's definitely a front runner.
Mm-hmm.
There's about three or four guys that are up top, and Garrett's one of them.
Yes,
along with Blake and Colton,
and I think Will's, because I thought he handled himself well with the whole "I'm coming to interrupt." And
interrupting.
Both of them even said, "Listen, we just sat down," which later he would say, "How am I supposed to know you?" Because they told you, both of them. And Becca was going to send him away. And he said, "I'll give you 2 minutes." Mm-hmm. So he walks away, gives him more than the 2 minutes. Because originally, no, that was like 30 seconds. It was more than the 2 minutes.
And Ryan was timing it.
And then he held his own. He held his ground and said,
"You need to leave."
"No, I gave you your time."
Yeah.
Which you already had anyways. And he could have been more of a jerk about it even and started throwing things. But he just said, "I gave you your time." No. You have to leave now.
Yeah.
And he did it in the perfect way, too. Yeah. He didn't, like, insult him. He didn't get physical. It was...
Yeah, he didn't try to step to him, exactly. Yeah. Because you would expect someone like Jordan or Chris, even, to try to be tough guy.
Manly man.
Yeah. No, he just... You have to leave now.
You can't even really argue with that. When someone takes that tactic, it's such a brilliant tactic to take because you can't argue with it.
It makes the other person so mad.
It makes the other person look like a douchebag.
And because you're doing exactly what they said. Said, "You, I need 2 minutes. I'll give you two. Like, I'm giving you 2 minutes."
Yeah.
And then after 2 minutes, "Oh, but dude, you asked for 2 minutes.
I gave you 2.5.
Yeah. And he's there complaining, and it's like, what do you got to complain about?
Nothing. So after that, we move on to the 2-on-1, which, Ryan, you predicted. Katie, I know you predicted. I think everyone saw this.
Basically, week one, you could see this one coming down.
But we didn't predict the outcome, which was that, although you kind of mentioned both of them, it could happen.
And she left the door open for Jordan, because she clearly, and we've talked about this, it's like these guys have never seen the show.
Tattletales,
don't spend your time talking about other people.
Yep.
It doesn't work.
And David used his entire first conversation with Becca talking about Jordan.
Although it was enjoyable to watch and listen to him. And I think...
Oh, no. Everyone loved it. But
in terms of complaining about another guy, I thought David handled himself better by keeping calm and relaxed and not getting all bent out of shape like Jordan, who literally, if he had a wig, it would have flipped. Like, he was all wound up.
But Jordan stuck to his guns, and David backtracked.
Right.
When he said, "I never said that." "Oh, well, you...
You meant it. You were thinking
it." You mentioned sort of, almost, kind of... Yeah, exactly. And that's when Becca knew, okay...
Childish, immature.
This guy's got to go, and I'm still not sure about Jordan, but... So I'm not going to give him the rose.
Right.
But I'm going to keep him around. We're going to go on a date. And let's see, now that we're not talking about Birdman, is there something that is there? And quickly found out there's not.
Well, there is a male modeling contract there and a portfolio and hair, skin, nails, makeup. Katie?
Gosh. Get my portfolio. I mean, she made the right decision in the end, letting him go. But I think even before, when they were still in the desert and he all of a sudden threw in all this stuff about his mom and how he came from nothing and "I'll always fight for you." But there was like no eye contact in that whole situation either. It was just like
swipe.
Kind
swipe.
Of like throwing out anything he could.
Yeah, desperation.
To get sympathy from her, and then she didn't take any of it, and she's like, all right, well, let's just go address this with David, and just like got up and walked away.
Yeah. He throws stuff out there, like you said, to see if anything sticks, and he gets so bent out of shape, like so you can just tell that he's not stable.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know that I would use... He is clearly a little unstable, but in this respect, I think he just has trouble with any sort of real connection, and that's... Obviously, we run into that with a lot of these people because that's why they're on a show like this. Let's be serious.
You mean he's but, too used to his Tinder swipes?
Yeah. I mean, that's one of many things, but I thought it took a lot for him to talk about his mother like that and where he came from. But Katie makes a great point, is he was just saying it, and maybe he's just saying it so he can stay, but at the same time, I do think he's trying to connect, but he doesn't know how to actually make a connection. And let me tell you, he should have turned to her and said, you know, this is why this upsets me so much, because I fought for everything in my life. And you tell the story. You don't look away from the person and just ramble it off.
It wasn't a conversation.
No.
It was just like throwing out anything that might... you know, resonate with her.
But his connections are superficial. Every time he tries to connect, it always comes back around to looks, skin, hair.
Well, that's why she gave him the opportunity. She said, oh, what do you...
Golden shorts.
What do you want on... Like, let's not talk about him anymore, even though he was still talking about David. And then I go to the gym.
Exactly.
And, you know, my portfolio. And
he can't go any deeper than that. Yeah, he can't take it to a deeper level than the superficiality.
Well, why don't you ask me a question? Okay, well, what do you do on a weekend? Well, oh, yeah, me too. Yeah, yeah, sure. So then I go to the gym. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's perfect for Paradise.
He is like, he could have a whole show.
The producer's pick, like, yeah. Perfect.
It's unfortunate, but it's true.
Yeah, no, we'll see you in Paradise, Jordan, for sure. But, you know, he made for good television while he was on the show, and he'll make for good TV when we watch him in Paradise.
I could see Jordan with the twin that isn't dating the hockey player. Whichever one is, one of them's dating a hockey player. Whichever one isn't dating the hockey player, that him, her and Jordan are
match made
in Paradise.
I could see that. That's a good choice.
He'll be heading back to
Vegas. I don't know if the twins will ever go back to Paradise.
The other one will. Come on.
Well, remember they had their whole breakdown?
Oh, stop.
And then they were like...
What breakdown? That's like 10 years ago now. I mean, we've had so many other things happen that we'll forget all about that.
True.
I mean, we have to address so many other issues, like the smell of shrimp on fingers.
Scallops.
Come on now.
Scallop fingers.
And don't forget, David is insult to injury because he came back with that broken nose and then just had to leave again basically right away. So he kind of had a double.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't mind David in the beginning.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
I didn't mind the chicken suit. Like, that was funny, I guess, for some people. And even up to like week two or so, like, he was actually seemed like a good guy, and then all of a sudden he got obsessed with Jordan, and then his whole attitude changed and he just had the wrong attitude from there on out.
Yeah,
if you're gonna use the duel to keep yourself around, you have to know when to cut bait.
You have to be the nicer guy.
And I think he probably thought, okay, well, I'll get to the 2-on-1, then I'll stay, and then I can pivot from just being in this back and forth to trying to stick around. And he never made the pivot because he thought he needed to get through the 2-on-1 when he should have started the pivot before then.
That's a very good analysis.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm here for.
That's very good.
It's his job.
He didn't make the pivot soon enough.
He did not, and that is why he went home.
That was kind of the underlying
current. Because he even got the sympathy vote of falling out of bed.
Yes.
So he could have played that
pity
too.
Rose.
And leaned away from the whole thing with him and Jordan, but
That was kind of, went the wrong way.
Like what was happening throughout the episode where Chris didn't pivot and then, you know, David didn't pivot.
These guys, it's almost, really, it's one of those, like, is this your first day? And I said it before, but it really, I mean, have you never seen the show before? Have you not been here the last month? What are you doing?
Yeah. Well, Chris carried that through to the cocktail party, like you had mentioned before, where he just complaining about not getting enough FaceTime by his own doing. Mm-hmm. And he still can't seem to read the room, although it didn't cost him. He stuck around. But
if he wasn't already all the way down low on my list, when he said that Becca owed him 50,000 kisses, he went all the way to the bottom.
There's a list of worst things you could possibly say. That's right near the top of it. I mean... it just immediately,
and she was just like, what?
Yeah. Like, no, that's not at all. And we talked about it earlier, how she has generally so far eventually seen people for what they are and gotten rid of them.
Yeah.
This is one's right in front of her. I mean, they even had the conversation about it. I'm a little surprised. I know John was very unspectacular, but how... she keeps this dude over John, even though John obviously was not long for the show one way or the other.
Yeah, he's too nice.
He's plain. He's vanilla.
That's what I'm saying. He's just a nice guy.
He was never going to win this show or whatever you want to call it. Yeah. He was never going to be there at the end. But to see Chris for all he is, I don't get it.
I thought the same, but if you think about it from obviously the show point of view, like David and Jordan are gone and now there's no one, like it will be the most boring last 4 weeks or
there
whatever.
There has to be an antagonist to carry the storyline.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Like if Chris got sent home and they kept John.
Yeah.
Where's the drama coming from?
Where's the rest of your season?
I'm trying to look at this as like from an analytical point of view. Like after we read Bachelor Nation and how she talks about Amy Kaufman, who wrote that book. She's an entertainment reporter for Los Angeles Times. Follow her on Twitter. She's great. She has great insight into every episode. But you know, she kind of broke it down for me. The whole season is a story, right? From mm-hmm. first episode to last, and every episode is a story, beginning, middle, end. Good guy, bad guy, all the way through. So I'm trying to watch like the whole season as a storyline and then keep track of every episode of a storyline. And my head is spinning. Like, I can't keep up with it.
Yeah, no, that's a good point because when during the 2-on-1, they kept going back to the hotel and they show, you know, oh no, you know, that's David's, oh my God. And then when Jordan, they came and took Jordan's bag, they were flipping
erupted.
Out,
right.
And they definitely, you can tell that these guys, most of them, don't dislike each other. And so I can see that now. Okay, if you take Chris out of this equation, where's the drama coming from? Is it just, you know, you got these guys broing out at the hotel while everyone else is on their date?
There's really no one left that has... already an established storyline,
yeah.
I guess.
So
right.
I get that.
And in terms of, you know, we talk about Leo, and I still am a huge fan of Leo, and there's just something about him. Now I'm thinking he looks like a Navy SEAL. When he pulls his hair behind his ears.
Well, he's a stuntman, so he's got to have a certain swagger to him.
Well, I'm watching that show Six, like with Olivia Munn, and he reminds me of the lead character on the show if his hair was shorter. And so I'm even more looking at Leo. But he's got this great hair. And then Jordan had the hair and the skin and the portfolio. And I think Jordan is a harder person to be in a relationship with I think, in my opinion, because he's competing with you on a beauty level versus Leo's just got great hair. So what?
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
And I like Leo so much.
I do too.
I just like his face when he comes on screen.
Yeah, I'm not sure that they have the exact connection to end up together.
We have a connection,
but,
Leo and I.
Yeah.
But hit your girl up. Come on, Leo. Yeah. You know you're listening.
But I'm sure we'll see him at some point.
Yeah, he's the coolest guy in the room.
He is.
Without trying.
Exactly.
And without saying anything.
Yeah. He walked, when he left on the group date, he gets out of the car and he's just like, Okay, yeah.
I want to be friends with him.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, he's the dude. And a lot of the other guys, you can see they're trying. And he's just, and maybe that's his trying, is it seems like he's not trying. He's just, I'm here.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's cool. All right. Let's have fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to jump out of a building. Like, cool. Yeah.
I love how they, and to go along with the storyline thing, they even carry out the drama, as always, the very end, where it's Chris and John, who's going to get that final rose? Music swells, and then, you know, it goes to Chris, who'd been complaining they didn't give enough face time, and we're all kind of like, no!
Yeah.
And that's on purpose. That's by
100%
design.
On purpose.
Yeah. But next week they go to, I thought they were going to go to overseas, Ryan Jones.
ABC, not quite. apparently is on a budget this season.
Virginia and is for lovers.
Indeed it is, even though we're not at that stage yet. But Richmond, Virginia, I guess they wanted to play the political angle because it looks like they're going to have them debate each other on the steps of the Capitol. So
Becca election or something?
Yeah. Eventually we go somewhere exotic for the finale because it shows, again, it could
water.
Be. Yeah, it shows a beach and it shows some over-the-water villas. So unless they built those in Virginia Beach.
Well, I feel like even last year it took a while to get, with Ari, took a while to get overseas.
Yeah, and even because it seemed
to France
with Rachel, it seemed like they were gone for a while, but that wasn't till the end either.
Right.
When they went to Europe, so.
Well, I do know in Richmond, there's one of the world's most beautiful historical hotels called the Jefferson Hotel, and I've always wanted to go there and stay there on my way down to visit my parents in Old Town Alexandria. And I wonder if that's a hotel they're going to stay at, because based on just looking at it from the images, it looks like the big marble columns, and I hope we get to see it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm excited about, the hotel. Yeah.
I'm hoping we get to see them go someplace that isn't in the United States soon.
I would probably say
wherever after.
Yeah, after.
And not someplace cold, because I'm done with them going cold places now. Like, take me
someplace
warm.
I mean, we're down to 9.
Right.
At this point.
Yeah, we're down to 9.
Hopefully after next week.
We lost Jordan, David, and John. We're down to 9. At least 4 of them are front runners. So, Virginia, here we come.
Yeah.
And not to mention that Christine has one of those 9.
Thank you. Who do I have left?
You got Wills.
Wills, who's
okay,
a solid.
Wills is a
strong
good guy.
Solid.
Yeah.
Katie has my guy, Leo, and Jason, who's a great guy, and Connor, who's unremarkable, Garrett, who we know to be not cool,
and Blake.
Oh, and you have Blake, too. You got the winning team. Although, Ryan has Colton,
Chris and Lincoln.
And Link.
So one out of three ain't bad. Yeah. Especially for me.
That's right.
I'll take it.
Well, anything else, guys? Did we miss anything of uber importance, Katie?
I don't think so.
Okay.
You going to watch the proposal next week?
I'm too busy,
being on the proposal?
It's an actual pageant. Like, it's an actual, like, Miss America, like the first time, the first segment, they come out in swimsuits, and they have to say something to. Last night, it was the girl who was the mystery person who was locked in a box, and they couldn't see her until like the third round. It's an actual soulmate pageant.
But they don't do swimsuits in the Miss America anymore. So
that's true.
This is even more hardcore.
So if you're really worried about spoilers about the proposal, then thanks for listening. But so, Katie, was there
a
proposal at the end of this episode?
There was.
Oh my God!
What? I'm shocked.
And I didn't watch the first episode yet, but apparently that couple's still together and they're engaged.
That is a lifetime in TV world.
They've been engaged for like 3 months. So
what?
So they're obvious. It's obviously forever.
It's over.
Success. Yeah. Well, find us online at Bachelor Podcast across all platforms. I'm Christine Lee. Ryan Jones, thank you.
No more words of wisdom after that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.